Spirit Radio Podcasts.
And on the line with me to give us this week's home and lifestyle tips on my favourite, of course, job of the week, I have Therese Davey. Morning, Therese, how are you?
Good morning. A little cold out there, windy.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside. But you know what? It's crispy. It's the beautiful sunrise this morning. Got to take it in. But I have to admit, I'm very cold hands, and even with ski gloves, I still couldn't feel my fingers when I got into work this morning.
And I skidded on the road and the estate twice this morning. So please be careful out there in the shade. People walking on paths or driving. It's chilly enough, but not warm enough, that sunshine, to defrost things. But get your scarves and hats out and use them. They're not ornaments. Put them in a place where you'll get them and leave them handy. Because stay warm. You're not going out on a photo shoot. Let's be practical here.
No. Yeah, I know. Be practical. Put the thermals on. It's and have your hot tea in your flask and you'd be grand. And keep moving.
Keep moving. And keep moving around your house, actually, this week for your job of the week. And see if there's any kind of non-perishable supplies you need to get in. And buy your batteries. Shop early or late in the day as well, so you have time and you're not going to be queuing and wasting time in queues. But just take a look around the house this week and see what you might need. And that's in the context of holidays and avoiding all crowds and things in supermarkets later on, which will happen naturally. But it's also in the context of Brexit.
Yeah.
Very topical today.
Indeed,
I know.
Yeah. I mean, the Taoiseach saying today it's 50-50 as to whether it'll crash out or not.
So I'm bringing Brexit into the home. And if there's anything you regularly get from the UK, get an extra one in now, just in case there's messing or delays.
I'm going to have to buy a new freezer, Therese.
No, not for the freezer. I'm talking about all those bakers who use Dubs flour or healthcare stuff, or if you're of a hobby that you buy your stuff from the UK, just maybe get some of the stuff in now in advance in case of a delay. I'm not being the prophet of doom here, but just be ready.
Yeah,
you know.
Be ready for. And flour is a big one because we import a lot of flour from the UK because our wheat isn't the best quality, which I didn't know. So stock up on that.
Absolutely, and particularly for the home bakers, they know what I'm talking about. Those odd ingredients, or the people who have a health issue and they get a particular cream or something in from the UK, just get an extra one in is all I'm saying. But back to the freezer, I'm not saying get an extra freezer, I'm just saying start filling it now with stuff in advance.
Okay, what are you putting in your freezer?
Well, this weekend I'm...
Apart from things you're going to deliver to Spirit Radio, of course.
Oh, that's right, Wendy, absolutely. I made some pastry. I made two batches of pastry ready to have for mince pies. Some people are really clever and they have the space in their freezer.
And does pastry freeze well and thaw well and all that sort of stuff? Do you find there's a difference between kind of fresh pastry and one that's frozen when you go to use it?
No, when you take it out and leave it for out of the fridge and leave it for half an hour. You defrost it in the fridge and then take it out for half an hour. It's more pliable, it's easy to use. But you put it back in the freezer, in the fridge again to chill before you bake it. But some clever people actually make their mince pies in the trays and freeze the trays and all.
Wow, very clever. And then what do? You pop them straight into the oven?
And they defrost them for a short while and then pop them into the oven. Now, I don't have space in our freezer for that, but I just think it's a clever thing to do. But the other thing I did make was the cranberry salsa, which I froze in containers, three containers I got in deals for £1.50, and I can pass them on, put a nice label, pass them on as a Christmas gift, part of a little package of jams and things that people like. And I'll send that recipe in for the Facebook page. It's lovely. You'll never eat cranberry sauce again once you try this cranberry salsa. The other thing that's out there is broccoli and asparagus are cheap in Aldi at the moment. I think they're 49 cents. So you can cook portions of those and have them ready for a quick veg over the Christmas.
As many things that you can prepare in advance, the better, isn't it?
Anything that makes life easier, you get on and do it. Freeze your lemon and lime and orange slices and have them ready. Keep making the breadcrumbs. We've been talking about that. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, to start your bag for the breadcrumbs, to make breadcrumbs out of your heels of bread that you might normally throw away or recycle, not throw away, but put into the compost bin. But make some breadcrumbs and have that. You can actually make your stuffing and have that frozen and ready to go.
Ready to go, yeah.
And all you need to do is add some of the turkey fat on the day. But put loads of fruit through your stuffing. Chopped apples, cranberries, apricots, orange juice, all lovely and stuff.
I recommend Nigella Lawson's gingerbread stuffing, a one that's made with ginger cake and streaky bacon. It's heaven.
Oh, wow. That sounds brilliant. Lovely. I'll be looking that one up, Wendy. Have you got your Christmas tree up?
We put it up this weekend, yes. And as soon as the decorations were put up by one child, they were pulled off by the other. But we'll get there.
Yeah, that's the family Christmas tree. That's what that is. But they're, it's buy an Irish tree. If you're going buying a Christmas tree, please, the first thing, make sure that it comes from Ireland.
How do you make sure? Do you just ask the supplier or...?
You can ask the supplier. There's an Irish Tree Growers Association. They may have a badge, or they may have a recommendation on their sites. But they do ask the supplier, because it's important to support our Irish farmers. Bring a bit of rope with you to tie the tree on, or to the boot, or keep the boot down. I have visions of the rope being forgotten as a child once and the boot flying up. Be careful bringing it home when you're bringing it into the house, in case it's too tall. Because you can scrape the top of the tree across the white.
Pine needles everywhere.
Oh, shake them. You're right. When you bring them home, shake off all the loose needles before you bring the tree indoor. You're right, Wendy. And that's hard, because sometimes people bring it in and the plastic they get it in, and because they think it's neater and less damage done. But you need to shake off all the spare needles and all the bits that might fall off, apart from needles. Stand your tree in a bucket of water. And not just for 10 minutes. I'd stand it in for, if you can stand it in for the day, all the better. But cut an inch or two off the bottom of the tree the minute you get home.
How do you do that? You need a saw.
You do. You need a very small saw, but you can do it. But what happens is a gel, or it seals itself up. The bottom of the tree seals itself up, and it won't absorb water. And that's what will cause it to dry out. So either... ask the person who's there, can you cut the bottom off before you take it away, last thing, or do it at home if you have a small saw. But you need to stand your tree in a bucket of water. Once inside, put it into a bucket or into a tree stand with water, because they need a pint of water a day.
Oh, pint, okay. And what about spraying the tree? Does that work?
You wouldn't spray the tree with the electric lights on.
I meant before they went on.
No, I wouldn't do that. It's just messy. They drip and
mâché
decorations. No, keep it in the bucket. We used to use a bucket filled with stones and water and covered with wrapping paper. If you have a farmer neighbour, ask them for one of their supplement buckets, and you can do that. And the stones kept the tree up, and there was loads of room in the bucket for water to feed the tree for the 2 or 3 weeks it's there. And people seem to be putting their trees up early. Have you noticed that, Wendy?
Yeah, but we held off. We did it on the 6th. We held strong.
Right, but there was people that have it well in advance of that, so they definitely do need water. So make sure it's in the coolest part of the room, away from the heater. You might have to switch off the radiator and away from the open fire. Make sure the lights and the trees are all properly wired and have the good safety instructions on them. Please unplug it every night.
Yeah, that's the big thing, isn't it? Because it's tricky, isn't it, though? Because you have timers on these lights that, you know, you can put on when you're out and about, but that's probably not the best idea.
Just for safety. I mean, it's the smallest thing can happen. Homemade decorations, paper mache decorations up beside a light. Let's not tempt fate. Just let's unplug it. Make it a habit. It's one of those good habits to get into, unplugging all the Christmas lighty decoration-y type things. But there are other things that come into the house at Christmas. We got our first poinsettia as a gift this Christmas. Do you like poinsettias?
Yeah, it's a Christmas tradition in our house that both the mammies on both sides have to get a gift of a poinsettia at this time of year.
Oh, and they are beautiful. But they're a South American plant, and South Circular Road is not necessarily their natural habitat. So you need to keep them away from drafts. They need to be out of the cold. And you water the base of the pot. You just keep the base of the pot wet. You don't pour water on the actual pot itself. It's just they absorb the water easier, more efficiently and slowly. They're not drowned when you put it on the bottom. And there's another thing that's out there, a Christmas rose. The heliobore, the white one, 6 in a tray in Lidl for £7.99. Great value. I love this flower. I absolutely love this flower. And best in the shade, but you can put them in a pot and for Christmas, and then transplant them out under a shrub later on. But they're great value.
Spirit. One of the impacts of this pandemic, of course, I'm imagining for many of you has been financial uncertainty, because many of us don't know, will we still have a job? What's the impact going to be on the economy? And you know what? This time of year, anyway, pandemic or no pandemic, is an expensive time of year, with Christmas, higher heating bills, all that sort of stuff. Well, on the line to chat to us about managing our finances at this time of year, and also when there's uncertainty on the horizon, you feel it's difficult to plan ahead, we've John McNicholas, CEO of Ethical Financial. John, morning to you.
Hi, Wendy. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, because of lockdowns and business closures and people being laid off, there's kind of two groups. You know, one, on the one hand, you have people who are financially better off because they've kept their job, you know, and on the other hand, you have people who've lost their job or there's been other impacts. What have you seen just in terms of how people's finances have been impacted and what do you think will happen?
Yeah, it's been, you're right, Wendy. Look, it's been very different, I think, for most families and most people this year. You know, you have two different experiences. You have those who are working, you know, in kind of tech jobs or jobs that haven't really been affected, to be honest. You know, they haven't really seen the impact of the pandemic in terms of their finances. But yet, on the other hand, you've, as you said, you've many people who might be small business owners or, you know, work in retail or in the hospitality sectors, and they've lost jobs and you know, been really having to reevaluate careers and kind of big kind of stressful conversations at home over the year. So that's probably as you said, it's been a very different experience for most people.
And one of the things, I guess, for this time of year in terms of December and spending money, I think we kind of go into a little bit of a December haze where we might be good at budgeting or being very prudent, and those rules kind of go out the window, and then come January we're under pressure.
Yeah, it's very much, you're right. I mean, Christmas is this time of year is very much a culmination of all of your finances in one year, you know. If you ran a business, you'd be expected to know when your expenses were coming in advance. But for your personal finances, it doesn't really seem to be the case. It all culminates around now, and it always takes us by surprise every year. And you're right, probably the biggest thing I would see or experience personally, and we see with clients, is it is very much impromptu. The spending kind of comes, it kind of comes at you from all angles, you know. Children need shoes, you need presents. Then there's like the kind of attitude in Ireland being, it's Christmas, sure, go on, we'll treat ourselves. But very kind of, and I'm not against the treating of it, but it's very kind of impromptu and unplanned, you know. And that causes a lot of stress. And then, as you said, people either end up in debt or they end up broke come January, both of which aren't good outcomes and, you know, don't make for a very enjoyable Christmas or a Christmas experience, you know.
So what's your advice? What's the best way to handle December then?
Yeah, look, there's no easy way around planning, you know. Everything has to be planning. There's no point pretending. You'll just manage as you go week to week. It rarely happens. Things catch you off guard. So we just have to have plans for Wendy. And I have, we probably just try and keep it to weekly because December comes very fast. You really need weekly plans on presents. Who do I need to get? When do we need to get them? How much are they going to cost? And particularly we would try and advise people to do it in terms of their meals, having a meals list so you can actually plan in advance what you're going to spend and also plan for the treats you want to have. Look, we'd like to get, you know, we'd like to go in for dinner as a family, or we'd like to, well, there's not much of that in the pandemic, we'd like to get a takeaway, like the takeaway as a family, and actually just to try and plan in those kind of events weekly so that you don't end up getting caught out, basically when stuff comes up with the kids or whatever, you don't end up getting caught out as much, you know.
And even that thing of going through the list of who needs what, what's realistic. And one thing that we have done as the numbers of children across both of our families continues to grow, we've kind of said to siblings, look, for the kids, like, let's just keep it simple, keep it small, you know, a five or whatever. Do we need to talk to our families about these things so there's no pressure?
Yeah, absolutely. Presents really are for kids. You know, there's no point pretending you don't need to get your kids presents for Christmas or nieces and nephews that they are looking forward to. So, we've certainly talked about it in our own family, and I think the boring conclusion has been that probably just don't get each other gifts to the same extent and just try and concentrate on the children, you know, and keeping it smaller. Kind of smaller, more meaningful presents. But the problem with the meaningful ones is that you just need to be organised, you know, because come Christmas week when you realise, I haven't got anything for my nephew, you know, it's hard not to just go and spend money and splash money on it, you know. So that's why we're probably saying just to kind of keep your present list good, keep communication good with families. Antoine, from my experience, you have a better chance of enjoying it that way and making it a fun fun time of year. And
a lot of people put themselves under pressure, John, where they end up borrowing money for Christmas presents and it gets on their credit cards.
Yeah, it's very common. Yeah, very common. Credit cards and debt is huge, and it usually adds a lot to stress, and there is a lot of pressure to it. And I think there's another, debt is quite hard to get out of, Wendy. Like, it really is. Like, it's not, having €1,000 or €2,000 or whatever it is in your credit card, like it'll be a while paying it off, more longer than you think, you know. It's not as easy. So we definitely try and avoid that. But also I think, look, there's probably the kind of Christmas consumer rush comes pretty hard at all of us, but I think there's still good measure in reflecting on it, and that the kind of delayed gratification or the saving up for a few weeks, or telling your children, look, we are going to get a takeaway dinner, but it's going to be on this day, and kind of planning stuff in advance. It does actually make it probably a bit more exciting for children and even for yourself when you're planning your spending in advance, and then you can actually look forward to something and enjoy it, you know, as of trying to get out of the haze, as you said, of December, you know. So look, it's not fun advice, but being organised and planning.
It's practical
really.
Advice. What would you say, John? Maybe there's people listening and they're going, oh, Jamie, like, here I go again. I have the stuff on my credit card. Especially for the year that I was in it, I went a bit bananas. Yeah. And I don't want to think about it till January, how I'm going to pay it off. What's your advice there?
Well, look, I always think of finance, Wendy. Finance is actually quite complicated in every aspect of it, be it investments or even, you know, insurance and mortgages or anything. It's actually quite complicated, and certainly personal finance is complicated, and there's probably an expectation out there that this is just something we've picked up over the years, that was modeled for us as children by parents, or, you know, we're all good at this, and the reality is, you know, with anything like that, we're not. Most of us aren't good at budgeting, aren't good at managing finances, aren't very financially savvy, and that's normal. That's not a criticism. But look, I usually we're around kind of getting organised and getting help on it. Personally, this year, our own staff, I've actually employed a budgeting expert for myself and for other staff to try and take us through the process of how we budget for ourselves, so we're better able to affect and work with our own clients. And even for our own clients in the new year, we're offering kind of free budgeting services from me. Budgeting professional. She works with MABS, and she's given us part-time. She's given us some of her time for our own clients this year. So I think the short answer, Wendy, is rather than feeling guilty about about your money and the overspend and all that, it's really just to try and get better educated and better organized and learn some things. And I suppose for next year, you know, you'll be able to enjoy it more and be less stressed about money, you know, when you're actually better equipped to deal with it.
So what are the immediate kind of budget tips people can start thinking about now then?
For the new year or for now? For now?
Yeah, for now.
For now, it's just think short term. It's just think weekly. Because, you know, you really just need to think weekly about your meal plans and about your spending list, about your presents, and just keep it very short term and keep it week to week, because it's too late to start doing a monthly financial plan a few weeks before Christmas, you know, because the things come at you out of the blue.
And then should we start the new year kind of on a new foot?
Yeah, definitely. It's a good goal. If you had one goal for 2021, it'd be just to try and learn a bit more and improve a bit more at managing your finance. You know, we've done it ourselves, and none of us are beyond learning. And it's a good thing to try and learn, you know. So we've done it ourselves and engaged someone professionally, and we'll be doing that for a lot of our clients next year. But it would be a good goal to try and learn a bit more about how to manage finance and cash flow for next year, you know, and that'll come from taking help and reading blogs and different things like that, you know. But I do think I would encourage people, rather than getting into a kind of cycle of guilt and of fear, to try and take some help next year in 2021, professional help.
And how does it work if someone comes to Ethical Financial? People might even be kind of nervous about that, going, oh, like, you know.
Don't look at my stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I need help.
The same way I am.
I'm afraid to ask. How does it all work then?
That's how it works. Is if someone comes to us, there's a particularly for any spirit listeners, there's no cost. I'll give you an hour of my time. No problem, just to talk through your finances and just to try and see if we can get some goals or some action points, you know. And we'll keep it small and simple, so there's no big 20 list of things you have to do in the immediate, you know. We'll try and keep it to two or three things, and if that's on budgeting, that's fine, that's what we'll do, you know. So we're just kind of like, as I was saying, Wendy, like, finance is quite complicated, so you kind of want to take it one step at a time and not try and overwhelm yourself, you know. So that's really what, when people come to us, we'll try and take it one thing at a time and work through a process rather than rather than overloading you with stuff to do, you know?
Yeah, well, great advice, John. Thanks so much for joining us on the programme today. That's John McNicholas, CEO of Ethical Financial. If you want to get in touch for them, that might be one of your New Year's resolutions. You can go to their website, ethicalfinancial.ie. Spirit. Our Christmas countdown guest is Johan van der Vleer. He's the Associate Director of Christ in Youth in Ireland. Thanks for chatting to us this morning, Johan. How are you?
Good morning, Ned. Doing well. Thanks, Wendy.
So I'm sure business as usual hasn't been the case for Christ in Youth. What's the last 9 months been like for you guys?
Yeah, it's been a bit mad, as for everyone. But yeah, there has been stuff that we can do. But obviously, like, we're an event-based organisation, so we do big summer events, which obviously wasn't able to go ahead. So we had to shift that to online and put in a fair bit of work to make that an online kind of platform where youth groups and different people could watch it and engage in that way. Still very different, and then connecting with youth workers around the country obviously looks different in these times. So a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of online conference style things, but yeah, just tipping away and seeing what we can do.
Are you Zoomed out of it yet, Johan?
Yes, I am, to be honest, yes. But look, I think we're finding ways to make it a little lighter, I think. So But I think it's the way forward at the moment, so we'll keep persevering.
So tell us a little bit about we're going to go to your Christmas countdown questions now. Tell us a bit about a Christmas memory from your childhood.
Christmas memory. Probably ham sandwiches. I think we're always the day after
the St. Stephen's Day ham sandwiches, yeah.
Ham sandwiches, and having to beat my brother and my dad to the ham sandwiches, whether it be early in the morning or late at night, even start on Christmas Day in the night after all the meals. So that'll probably be up there.
Yeah, I love the Christmas Day leftover sandwiches too. What about a highlight for you from 2020, Johan?
Highlight from 2020? Well, I think, you know, amidst all the COVID stuff and people not being able to connect, I think one highlight for me and for us in our organisation was being able to connect with people. Even I know I kind of complained a bit about Zoom, but actually the Zoom platform, the different online things, actually we were able to reach quite a lot of people throughout the country and connect with people we might not normally get to do. You know, where a coffee or a meeting at an event or something would be the normal circumstance to meet, now we were able to jump on a call and start connecting people all around the island. So that was really, I suppose that's a highlight for us, is actually greater connections, even in the midst of all this lockdown stuff. So I think that's been one of my highlights.
Yeah, that is one of the benefits, isn't it? You have people from all across the country that, as you say, have been able to connect up that ordinarily wouldn't be able to travel for these chats and these meetings. What about a low light of 2020 then, Johan?
Well, I think, yeah, probably be a few. Obviously, with COVID, I think disrupting all the plans, but I think for us, one of the big ones was not being able to do our summer event called Move in Clongowes. We're really looking forward to it. There's going to be a good number of people there. But so having to cancel that, I suppose, is the low life. And then just even, you know, like not being able to be around friends and family as much, I think would have been the big thing.
And has it been hard? Because obviously, as you say, Johan, you're an events-based organisation. That's how you connect up with young people and share faith. And the irony is, it's at a time when young people need faith and they need God the most because they're struggling.
Yeah, they are. I think we're all struggling. And young people, I think, just even the disconnect between the generations and not knowing how to communicate that faith with each other, I think is a really key thing that we need to look at more. So for us, what we've been really trying to focus on doing is, you know, while we can't get as much contact with young people at the moment, we can get a lot of contact with actual youth workers, community workers and parents. So we've been really trying to encourage them on their walk with, I suppose, presenting faith to the young people and showing them that actually Jesus wants to be a part of their life every day. And, you know, in the midst of the uncertainty that a lot of teenagers have in these times, you know, whether it be with school, with looking towards the future, or even not even sure what the next day is going to look like, you know, in day-to-day life, I think it's so important that we show them that they can invite Jesus into that. So I know for us, we've having a conversation with a counselor the other day, and there's the mental health issues are going through the roof for 13 to 19 year olds, and it's not really being talked about in the media. And I think it's an issue that we need to be very aware of, but also know that I think there's so much hope for it. And in the midst of that, we're actually simple conversations and simple engagement can actually bring so much hope to these young people.
And being aware of that, so we're extra, you know, conscious of that, as you say, in our conversations. What about hope, Joanne? What do you have in terms of 2021? Have you got some hopes for us?
Yeah, I do. I think, like, you know, if we look at, I suppose, the benefits of what COVID has brought, I know people might be like, I don't know what benefits it would have brought, but when I kind of look at it from my point of view, I see people connecting in Ireland in a way that maybe they haven't connected before in years, you know, really looking out for each other community-wise. It almost seems like a little bit of a going back to the old days, you know, where everyone looking out for each other. And I think, you know, as we become more of a, you know, more modernized society, I think that kind of stuff can slip away easier. We become a little bit more individualistic. So for me, I think that a big hope is that actually, whether it be in church or, you know, in the communities, if it's in your housing estate or in your school or sports teams or wherever, that actually people would continue to invest in looking out for each other and in that community aspect. So I think that is the thing that, I suppose when you pair everything back, it's the thing that we miss the most, you know, and the thing that we've been denied a lot. But I think people have found ways to create community and to look out for each other. So for me, that would be a huge hope, that actually, I think God wants to show us that there's so much possibility for that and for a greater future in the year to come.
Yeah, and focusing on that is such a good thing. What about a suggestion you might have for listeners, something to do or to buy, something you'd recommend this Christmas?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Don't have a lot of people want to hear me encouraging to spend more money. So I don't know if I have anything in terms to buy, but I think to do, I think one thing that, you know, we're always talking about looking out for each other in Christmas. But for me, I think one thing that's been important is just if someone comes to mind, you know, someone just happens to come to mind or something, instead of like just delaying getting in touch with them, just do it straight away and just send them a text, reach out to them. I think especially this Christmas where there's a lot more tension around how to navigate, you know, meeting with family with all the restrictions and trying to be safe and healthy and all that kind of stuff. I think there'll be a lot of people that could be left to kind of fall through the cracks, even people you might not expect it. So I just kind of suggest, you know, over Christmas, if someone comes to mind, you're thinking of them, just send them a text and say, hey, look, thinking of you, and just engage and connect. I think it'll mean the world to them.
Yeah, don't put it on the long finger. I just act on it straight away. The minute that person pops into your head, it's a really good idea. How are you going to be celebrating Christmas this year, Johan?
Not 100% sure, but probably keep it pretty simple. Keep family around, try to stay safe with us. I think church will be going ahead, so I'll probably do the Christmas carol service down in Wicklow here. I think there's a drive-in Christmas carol service at this huge big kind of barn place that we might go along to. We'll see what that looks like, so that could be fun. Other than that, I think it's just going to be simple, same as with family and friends.
Well, thanks so much for being our Christmas countdown guest today. That was Johan van der Vleer there. He's the Associate Director of Christ in Youth in Ireland.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.